Well, good morning. This is the morning voice, and it's a Thursday, so I'm back from last week, and boy, we got a lot to talk about today, but this is the brand new The Morning Voice. It's a show every weekday beginning at 7 a.m. on KVOI. That's where you're listening, featuring a different host every day who follow the spirit of service before yourself. We talk to local businesses and the folks who make the news, lead the way in community support, and just simply are called community leaders in Southern Arizona. And thanks to Visit Tucson and the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance who sponsor this show. Today, we are talking about all the March events, from the World Baseball Classic, Blake will be joining us in just a few moments, to the Color Guard Classic Golf Tournament, concerts at Rialto Downs, remember that, the Rialto Racetrack, the Oro Valley Spring Festival of the Arts, put on by Saka, the Monster Jam Arena Tour at the TCC, the Book Festival at the U of A, the 4th Avenue Street Fair, the 10 West Festival. And just when you think there was nothing else to do, the Tucson Roadrunners have some games in Tucson, I think two teams for the rest of the March. And let's see what else. Oh, the Sugar Skulls. I want to make sure we shout out to them. Their first game is April 12th, so go out and make sure you get the tickets for that. And the Marana Founders Day. I want to shout out to Stephanie and the Discover Marana folks because they have their annual Founders Day parade, coming up as well, down the road. And so it's going to be really an exciting spring here in Tucson and in Southern Arizona. And the World Baseball Classic has been going on at Keno Sports Complex. It started March 2nd today. Is the last game. I believe it's Germany against Brazil. They're the ones that have won the most games. And, it's going to be exciting because this is a qualifier. And on the phone is Blake Eager, who is the executive director of the Southern Arizona, I'm going to say it completely, Blake, the Southern Arizona Sports, Tourism, and Film Authority. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, Tom, and you nailed it. It's not the easiest name to get out, especially early in the morning.
Well, you have been watching baseball since March 2nd. You've probably been living baseball for almost half a year, and I got the pleasure of seeing you in your pitching splendor, and you actually made it to the home plate. So congratulations.
I appreciate it. It would have been pretty embarrassing if I couldn't have made it there with my pass. So.
Well, you probably practiced a little bit, I hope.
I hadn't thrown a baseball in over a year. Look, Tom, I'll be honest. I wasn't planning. When I walked out there, the lady from Major League Baseball said, "Can you please throw it in front of the mound?" And as I was walking out there, Edgar Soto just kept screaming at me, "You better throw it from the mound." And so I did. So,
yeah. Well, and you did a good job. So tell us what's going on with the baseball and how's it been going? And the weather has been absolutely beautiful today. We'll see what happens. But it's the final game, I understand.
Yeah, so we've been on the phone with the weather service. We've had a couple of meteorologists. Today's supposed to be gorgeous starting at the start of the game time. I think there's maybe a chance of rain or a little bit of precipitation at maybe noon, but it's not going to affect us, and we're ready to go. It's Brazil versus Germany. It's a chance to move on. It's we're super excited. Come out and watch some great baseball. Watch some professionals on the field play for their country.
Yeah, it's exciting to see Major League Baseball professional baseball players back at Keno. I made this comment not too long ago to a good friend of mine. When I walked into the stadium on March 2nd, I thought, my gosh, it's the same as when I walked through the first time in 1998. Our folks are at Keno Sports Complex in Pima County have done a wonderful job renovating it, sprucing it up, lots of paint. The grass was just absolutely beautiful. I talked to a couple of the players, and they said the clubhouse is first class World Baseball, and a lot of these players do play on the Major League Baseball teams, don't they?
Yeah, quite a few of them do. And that's what's exciting, you know, for us. And you know this, Tom, I said the same thing, and I don't know if we got to talk much on Sunday, but when I walked in, that first pitch happened, it felt like a spring training game. And I haven't had that feeling in a long time. And I love Mexican Baseball Fiesta, but we want Mexican Baseball Fiesta to feel like Mexican baseball. We want it to be a party. This felt like spring training.
Well, you know, international baseball, when World Baseball Classic started back many, many years ago, we had the pleasure of having the Mexican national team here, and my good friend Mike Fader and I had the opportunity to promote the game. And of course, they were here all week, so the press was here from both the United States and from Mexico. And I would imagine, Blake, I haven't asked you this question, but there's been probably a few baseball scouts in the stadium.
There's been quite a few. We've probably had an average of 15 to 20 per game, and they're from all over the world. We've had some Mexican League scouts. We've had some Nippon League, Korean League, KPL, and then tons of MLB scouts. I had to escort a New York Yankees scout yesterday from one clubhouse to the other. So
now, have you had any knowledge, or what's going on with the – is there a national United States team?
Yeah, the national team for USA is going to play next year in the actual World Baseball Classic. This is the qualifier to get to that. I think that roster is almost set. Maybe you're waiting for some pitching decisions, but I think from a from who's going to be on the field, the USA roster is pretty much set.
Yeah, this morning there was a lot of talk about the World Soccer matches coming up. I can't remember how many teams were. I want to say it was 48 teams or something. They all, you know, truly are going to find out who the world best soccer team in the world is. And this is really a new event. I mean, it's been around for a while, a couple of decades, but it was started, I believe, by Major League Baseball, and it really truly finds exactly who is the best baseball team. And it's just not one game, certainly like National Football League, not cutting how they do, and they pick their world leader. But this is truly a competition, and you don't have to win every single game. And it's going to be played in 2026. What's the location is where they're going to actually have the finals?
Miami, I believe, is what they're hoping for.
Oh, that's fantastic! So we get to see world-class baseball, in a sense. Blake, I really appreciate all that you have done, all the your board, all the sponsors. You certainly, Sarah over at Keno Sports Complex, what she's done to get the stadium ready. Her staff, I have to tell you, I thoroughly have enjoyed seeing the games, and the staff looks like they been doing spring training for every year since 1998, and even down to who just to chase the ball when somebody hits a foul ball. It was tremendously organized. Having seen, God, in my career working at Pima County, 100 games or so, it's probably a lot more than that. So Blake, thank you for coordinating it and getting the team together. Of course, the Arizona Bowl is providing a lot of operational support and volunteer support. I saw all my fellow Arizona Bowl Blue Blazers out there, making sure everybody has the right tickets and they can find their seat. So thank you again, and I appreciate you being on, and I'll see you at the game tonight.
Yeah, 6 p.m. at Keno. It's $5 24-ounce Modelos, $1 hot dogs. I hope everybody comes out. I'll be there. Tom, text me when you get there. I'll come say hi.
All right, and there's still tickets available. Where should they go if they want to buy a ticket?
Yeah, worldbaseballclassic.com. You can go to SASFA, SASTFA.com, or you can come up to the ticket office all day today starting at 9 a.m. It's open. Come up, grab some tickets. Come out and have a heck of a time.
All right, thanks again, Blake, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you. And that was Blake Eager, the executive director of the the Southern Arizona Sports and Tourism and Film Authority. They're helping to bring spring training back here in Tucson. It's been gone since 2010. We had some charity games to help out, you know, some just a wonderful charitable foundation. We've had a couple of games here and there, a couple of semi-professional leagues that have played Aquino. And I guess, you know, you've heard that the end game is to bring minor league team back, you know, Tucson Toros and Tucson Sidewinders. We're a wonderful family outing, and we certainly are the community, I should say, is supporting that initiative to bring back a minor league team. A lot of towns our size have the pleasure and privilege of having a minor league team. So we'll be back after the first break, and this is the more what do we call this show?
The Morning Voice.
The Morning Voice. I tell you, I got all wrapped up in baseball.
We can call it the Tom
lingo
Moulton
here.
Show. It's okay.
No,
it's,
that's
it's
okay.
The Tom
this
Moulton
is the Morning
today.
Voice on KBOI.
Or the Tom Moulton Show. I think we're going with that today, aren't we, Tom?
Well, I almost said jump in Tucson, as the folks know that in January we took over the 7 to 9 time slot, and there's a wonderful host here every weekday. And, of course, on Friday, Dr. Ackerley, our show producer, is back on from 7 to 9. And he brings us all kinds of stories about the University of Arizona. Now, don't forget to stick around, because we have Mr. Paul Volpe with the Tucson Conquistadors to share with us some information on this weekend's PGA Tour Championship golf match. And at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Jess Suskind to talk about the 10 West Festival. If you're an entrepreneur, you definitely want to be listening to the 8 o'clock hour. Now, on the phone, joining us is Otten Suarez, good friend of mine from the general when he was a general manager over at the Hilton El Conquistador. And now Otten took on a role, a community leader role, to open up, reopen, I should say, the Tucson Auto Museum. Good morning, Otten.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, so nice to have you on. You and I have been in touch for months now about this exciting news that you're going to share with us, and I understand you've been very busy lately.
Yes, it is, Tom. Most definitely, very exciting news. And with the Tucson Auto Museum, which will be opening this month, in the month of March, at 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road. And it's a great location. It's the former location of the Hidden Valley Inn. And we're really very excited to bring back to this really very well-renowned address of where Sabino on Sabino Canyon Road, and bring in the customers and let them see the beautiful cars and the fabulous collection of vehicles that we have. We have 80-plus vehicles that are ready to be shown, and can't wait to open our doors later on this month.
Well, recently, Otten and I were at what we call a consumer show, but really it was a celebration of the Western heritage at the Wagon History Museum, and they had a very sexy car there. What was that car?
Actually, it was really a huge attraction, and it was so Adam West was the Batman from the series, and he had a vehicle that was really very easily recognized in the series, and so we were able to take that to that event, and it brought a lot of people to and take pictures of them by the car and asking about the museum and asking when we were going to be opening and all that. I can tell you, I had the opportunity to drive it from our old location to our new location, and you wouldn't believe how many people would come by and take their pictures as I was driving by. And it was a very exciting. It's a big car, you know, from the, you know, many centuries ago. So it's many years ago. And it was very exciting to drive it, and it brought a lot of attention to our to our museum, which, as I mentioned, will be opening a little bit later on this month.
Now, if you don't remember who Adam West was, he played this cartoon character called Batman. Obviously, there's been several movies, several different actors have played Batman. I think they've been somewhat true to the comic book series. It was at DC Comics, if I recall correctly. You were in the car. Now, were you dressed up as Batman?
No. I did not want to get that much attention. And I was being very careful to drive that car. It's a very valuable car. So I wanted to be as concentrated as possible on my driving skills. So, but we also have four other vehicles from the Batman series. We have the vehicle from Batman Returns. We have the Batski. We have the duck that Danny DeVito was in, featured in that movie. So as the Penguin. So we have a great exhibit of Batman, and it brings a lot of attention, not only at our old location, but looking forward to our new location, of course.
Yeah, these are certainly one-of-a-kind vehicles, and I really am excited to hear that you've created kind of your own movie kind of setup to feature all four of these cars. So Ott and I were on the phone yesterday, and I think we're going to flip the coin of who gets to play Batman and Robin when I get a chance to visit the museum before it opens next Thursday, actually, from 7 to 8. We're going to be doing the show live from the Tucson Auto Museum. And Otten, you and I are going to get a chance to kind of walk around, and we're going to learn a lot more about the museum and the complexities of getting the cars from one location to the other location. I understand that a lot of them are running and drivable. They all look beautiful. We're very fortunate in a town this size to actually have three auto museums. And correct. You're all friends, aren't you?
Yes, we are. We're definitely working with both of them, and we're looking maybe even to set up a package where we can promote all three of us and have individuals coming by. Just a couple of days ago, a couple of the folks that from Rolling Through Time came by to look at our museum and spend a little bit of time with us just looking at that. And we have the board from the Franklin Museum coming up a little bit later on next week just to look at our museums before we open, and obviously get ideas from them and network and cooperate to make sure that we have a really exciting opportunity for car enthusiasts and just visitors to Tucson that want to spend a little bit of time indoors and as we go through the summer away from the heat in air condition.
Absolutely. I think that's the great thing. These are all indoor museums. There is, though, the Old Pueblo. I wasn't part of the three. And they are a member of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance through the Southern Arizona Transportation Museum. And some of you may remember the Old Pueblo trolley. So I have to give a shout out to those folks as well, because they have a wonderful little museum there where you can get to understand some of the nostalgia of the transportation systems of before the modern streetcar came into town, which, again, it's kind of exciting to ride the streetcar from downtown. I work downtown and get to go to the U of A, and I don't have to find a parking place. That's the most important thing. So I look forward to featuring you next Thursday at 7 o'clock in the morning. And also, I look forward to the grand opening. And the last thing I look forward to is being able to help all three museums when you put together this special auto show kind of tour package. The Tucson Attractions Passport stands ready to do whatever we can to help promote all three of them. And we are looking forward to next Thursday, Otten, and we really appreciate you coming back to the workforce. and joining the Tucson Auto Museum, especially right in the middle of the renovation and the movement over there to the Hidden Valley Inn. It's wonderful to have the Hidden Valley Inn come back into the tourism infrastructure, and we look forward to much success out there. And again, we are so lucky to have the Tucson Auto Museum moving to the Hidden Valley Inn and not, and we really appreciate your service, and we look forward to seeing you again, and thank you for joining us here on The Morning Voice.
Most definitely, Tom. Thank you very much. And just if I can just give a plug for our website, it's www.tucsonautomuseum.org. And we're very excited to bring this piece of rolling art to the visitors. And as I always say, every car has a story. And all this rolling art that will be able to be visible to them is going to be great, very exciting. We have a meeting space. We have a broadcast booth. We have ample parking. And it's going to be great to see this great, most varied collection of vehicles.
All right. Well, thank you again. And that was Otten Suarez, the executive director of the Tucson Auto Museum. Opening soon. Go to the website. And pretty soon you're going to see when the grand opening is in March. Again, have a good day, Otten, and look forward to seeing you next week.
Great. Thank you very much, Tom. Looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much. Much success.
And thank you, sir. This is The Morning Voice. Got it. Nailed it this time, Matt. And I'm Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back with another special star about the Tucson Conquistadors and the golf match. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, and this is The Morning Voice. And we're going to talk this segment about golf. And, boy, have we had the weather... It's been beautiful out there. You wouldn't have no snow, no rain. We need a little bit of rain to keep the grass green. But we're going to talk about what's been going on all this week with Paul Volpe from the Tucson Conquistadors. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate you joining us. I know there's a lot of activity going on now, the Pro-Am and golf all this week. And, of course, we're looking forward to what happens on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I've heard some of the top golfers are all here in Tucson. Can you tell us a little more about the golf tournament, Paul?
Yeah, well, the tournament obviously started for us on Friday with getting everybody out to the course for the Conquistadors to start doing work. We had our AMM events this past Sunday. Special Olympics came out. We're in the midst right now of our second day of our Pro-Am. We had our first Pro-Am yesterday, and we've got our second going off about 6 minutes ago for the morning shift, and then we have a 1 o'clock tee off for the afternoon. But we've got players like Jerry Kelly, Ernie Els, Dave Duvall, Patrick Harrington, past champions Joe Durant, and a lot more as well.
Well, the Colligard Classic has been going on for a number of years. Obviously, the Tucson Conquistadors has been involved in professional golf for a long time. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the Tucson Conquistadors are all about?
Yeah, we've been the Tucson Conquistadors. We've been serving the Tucson community since 1962. Our focus is to raise money for youth and amateur athletics, particularly underprivileged youth here in southern Arizona. Since our inception, we've hit almost about $40 million back to the community, donated over $38 million for sure in the last 60 years. Last year, we raised $700,000, so we're excited to hit that $40 million mark this year.
Now, you've been at a lot of very beautiful golf courses here in town, the Omni, and, of course, over there in the Marana area. Yeah. You were out there for a number of years.
Yeah, for the Accenture.
Yes, and then... you moved back to the Omni for a while, and now you're at a wonderful golf course that I have trouble. I lose a lot of balls when I'm playing out there. And where is that, the golf tournament? This is the second year now this new place.
Yeah, we're at La Paloma. We're excited to be here. Our first year was last year, so we had to kind of reinvent the wheel and kind of get things figured out there. We're using 18 of the 36 holes, of course, but we're using kind of a smorgasbord of the different courses combined. So it's been a lot of fun to be up here. La Paloma obviously has been an amazing host. We've got the resort here. The pros absolutely love it because they can stay on property and kind of walk out of bed and get to the tee box. So it's been great being up here, and obviously it's beautiful. It's a lot tougher than Omni. I played in the Pro-Am yesterday and lost a few balls, which is pretty par for the course. But it was a great, great time.
No, I understand it. Yeah. And what I heard on the radio, of course, I listened to the radio as well as being on the radio, that a lot of those holes are at the La Paloma Country Club, which is a private country club. So a lot of when the spectators come out, they see some holes that they've never seen before.
Yeah, no, and they've done a great job. They did a good job getting the course set up, overseeded. I mean, it's the greens are awesome, and the rough is rough. So it's definitely not normal how it's set up, but it gets you out there if you're able to get on the course. And I know they opened it up after the tournament to get some of the members out there and guests. But it's some awesome conditions, and we're excited to have a successful tournament week.
Now, I was out there last year volunteering for the Arizona Bowl, and there's plenty of golf to see close up. There's refreshment areas, both adult and, let's say, the Coca-Cola stands. And there's also plenty of wonderful food, all prepared by the Westin La Paloma Country Club and the resort. So you can go out and spend the whole day there. So what time does the during on Friday through Sunday can you head out to the country club and resort?
Yeah, we'll definitely get out there before 10 to get the golfers that go up on the first tee box. But the nice thing is that with the way it's set up at the country club, you've got three holes, the finishing holes right there at the club. So it's very walkable on that side. Obviously, we've got the venues at 18, 17, and 16. But again, it's all walkable in that area. You can get your hiking shoes on and go to the back of the course, which, you know, you want to get your steps in, get your heart rate up. You can definitely follow the pros on the back side of the course and definitely get a good workout at the same time.
Now, of course, we always get a lot of questions about parking. Can you tell us a little bit about how easy it is to park to go to the golf tournament?
Yeah, they'll be parking there at the general parking. There's shuttles that will take you from the U of A farm there off of Campbell on the south side of Rito, right there south of River Road. And there's also some preferred parking up at the clubhouse at the resorts with certain passes, as well as there's a church around the corner as well. And there's plenty of signs to kind of direct traffic on where to go. And you can go to the Color Guard Classic .com, get your tickets, of course. And then, of course, we're also setting up for our big a concert series, which is going to be Friday and Saturday night.
You know, that was my next question. You read the script. The Morning Voice has been covering the golf tournament every day, but yesterday in the morning, my good friend he talks about the restaurants, but yesterday Grant Kruger talked about the concerts in great detail with your Tucson Conquistador friend that's out there organizing at my old stomping ground, working at Pima County. I got a chance to kind of help coordinate the racing out there for a number of years, so I was really glad to hear that Rialto. We didn't call it Rialto. You know, it's been called Rito Downs for many, many years. Of course, during the horse racing, we called it the Rito Racetrack. But you started last year with one concert, and this year you now have two concerts out there.
Yeah, we had Midland last year. I think we had over almost 8,000 people out there.
Wow.
And that was one of the tricky parts with moving from Omni to La Paloma, because on Omni, we were able to have the concert out there on the driving range. So we had to pivot and figure out a spot to have a concert. It was going to be pretty difficult to have that many people up at La Paloma, and just logistically, it didn't make a lot of sense, and made it more difficult on that end. So we were able to strike a deal and get access to the track down there. And last year, like I said, it was an amazing concert. Midland was amazing. There was a few other acts, and then of course, by switching it up this year, having two concerts. Because obviously everything's already set up, so getting another concert set up was pretty easy since all the infrastructure is already there. So we've got Friday, we've got Vanilla Ice, Rob Bass, Tone Loc, for those who know them. I definitely am excited because that brings me back to my junior high, my high days, and then so it's going to be a lot of fun there. And then we've got Friday, we've got. Or Saturday, I'm sorry. We've got Cole Wetzel, Dylan Marlowe, who's a rising star, Sophie Rankin, The Sound, and a local artist who's a good friend of mine, Drew Cooper. So it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice. We had some country concerts out there when I was with the county, and it's a wonderful facility. I presume you're set up in the infield of the racetrack?
In the infield, yeah. They've got west side of the infield.
Right.
Actually, no, it's the west side of the infield. Obviously, there's a lot of parking there, but we encourage people to ride share, Uber over. We definitely don't want people having too much of a good time and then trying to get home on their own. So make sure you plan accordingly.
I'm sure there'll be some adult beverages there as well. And we just got about 15 seconds left, and I just wanted to thank you. I know you're extremely busy. The Tucson Conquistadors dedicate a lot of their time. I understand they're out there for a week or so, and work is they take their vacation to give back to the community through the Tucson Conquistadors and the Color Guard Classic. So I want to give a wonderful shout out and a big thank you to all of the Tucson Conquistadors, all of the sponsors that are part of the golf tournament. And don't forget, it's Friday through Sunday. Millions of dollars in purse winnings out there, and of course the famous trophy. We can't forget about the trophy, can we, Paul?
Nope. It's probably one of the best ones in all sports, we say.
I would imagine that is something that every golfer that plays during this tournament would like to have one of those on their bookcase. So head on. What's the website again, Paul?
Well, you can go to colorguardclassic.com for your tickets. There's plenty of tickets and some options for some upgrades as well. And then for the concert tickets, you can go to rocqfest.com. So rocqfest.com. You can get concert tickets start at $49, and there's VIP tickets available as well.
Well, thank you, Paul, for joining us, and have a great golf tournament, and we'll see you out there. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, appreciate you having us on.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. All righty, we're back here at the Morning Voice, and we have a break coming up right now. So this is the Morning Voice. I'm Tom Moulton, and we'll be right back. Well, we're back for the last segment of the first hour. Don't forget, don't go anywhere, because we'll be back at 8 o'clock with a special guest from the upcoming 10 West Festival. So if you're an entrepreneur or looking for ways to open up a new business, you want to definitely stay tuned for the 8 o'clock hour. Now, we've been talking about the World Baseball Classic last game tonight, March 6th, that's going to be kind of this person that wins. The team gets to go to the real show, the big show, as they say. We think it's going to be in Miami, and it's against Germany national team and Brazil's national team. Germany has won 3 games, and Brazil has won 2 games during the 6-game tournament that started on March 2nd. So tickets are available at the worldbaseballclassic.com, and we'd love to see you out there at 6 o'clock. And of course, we talked about the Marana Founders Day Parade, which is March 15th, and that's from 10 to 3. So go to discovermarana.com, and you can learn a lot more about this annual event for Marana. Marana is, you know, one of our fastest growing cities here in southern Arizona. And be part of that excitement in the historical Marana Days Founders Parade. It's an exciting parade to watch. I was just in the parade, was that last week, Matt? I think it was. But we're going to go to a special kind of announcement from our sponsor, Visit Tucson. And so I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Matt.
Thank you, Tom. In honor of International Women's Day this Saturday, March 8th, and the incredible women entrepreneurs shaping the local economy and community, Visit Tucson is launching a comprehensive directory of all women-owned businesses in Tucson. The impact of women-owned businesses in the U.S. is undeniable. In Tucson, women-owned businesses make up 21.7% of all Tucson businesses. These women provide jobs and services for the community, all while championing sustainability, diversity, and inclusion. It's so important to invest in the equity and community that Tucson's amazing women have built for our city, Felipe Garcia, Visit Tucson's president and CEO, said. It's their business and their ideas that help make our city such a vibrant and welcoming place. We want to encourage locals and guests to support that. The directory features iconic businesses like El Charro Cafe, The Coronet, and Tumerico. El Charro Cafe is owned by Chef Carlotta Flores, the third generation of her family, to continue the legacy of the oldest Mexican restaurant in the nation in continuous operation by the same family. The Coronet, located in the historic Farron House, is owned and operated by Sally Kane. Clara Farron, who originally resided in the home-turned-restaurant, was instrumental in building Arizona's first synagogue. Finally, Tumerico is a delicious vegan eatery owned by two-time James Beard semifinalist Wendy Garcia. Outside of owning and operating businesses, women in Tucson continue to lead and leave their mark in the city in numerous ways. Artist Carly Quinn creates vibrant, desert-inspired tile art using the centuries-old Huerta Seca tile-making technique. Local professional athlete Lael Wilcox has set records on the Arizona Trail, while Megan Lopez of the Tohono O'odham Nation is making waves educating others about Tohono O'odham agricultural practices at Mission Gardens. To view the directory of women-owned businesses in Tucson, visit visittucson.org/tucson-women-owned-businesses. And we will be right back. Tom's going to be speaking with folks from the 10 West Festival coming up right after the news on The Morning Voice. Stick with us.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of The Morning Voice, and we're continuing our in-depth conversation about the wonderful festivals in the month of March. And we have with us today a special guest. Her name is Jess Suskin. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. You're the associate show producer of 10 West 25. And we'd just call it the festival. And it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, we're celebrating our 10th year of 10 West this year.
Amazing. And I think it was maybe 2 years ago, you had this wonderful opening at the Tucson Museum of Art. I don't know if you were associated with them 2 years ago. And what a collection of people, community leaders, entrepreneurs, funders of startup groups, companies. The U of A, of course, has a wonderful startup program. And the U of A is one of your biggest sponsors of the 10 West.
Yeah, U of A has always been such a great partner for us. Specifically this year, we're working with the University of Arizona Center for Innovation on idea funding. And then we have the McGuire Center, who's also a sponsor of our Entrepreneurship Day. And they send their students from the New Venture Development Program to participate in that Entrepreneurship Day conference. And then we also have one of their students pitching as a part of the pitch competition on that Thursday.
If you're an entrepreneur, this is a must-attend event, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. On Thursday, March 27th, we have a full-day conference for entrepreneurs that has tactical workshops focused on different areas from sales techniques to building their business plan. And then we also have a pitch competition. It's the largest, longest running one in the state. And we give away $50,000 in cash and prizes. And we have 25 teams that'll be pitching all day that day. So if you like a Shark Tank style pitch competition, you can come and watch that.
Yeah, I think 10 West, or maybe it wasn't called that when it first started, but I remember Larry Hecker, who's a wonderful lawyer here in town and certainly supports a lot of nonprofits. And I got a chance to sit in, not present, but sit in the pitches.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was, if I can remember the environment, obviously people were very prepared but nervous. And they're sitting in front of, was it Angel Charities at the time, or it was just potential funders?
Yeah. They had investors, I think, that they brought in at that point that
right.
helped judge the competition.
And it was a collection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're there talking to these potential investors about why they should give money to help this new company start up. Now, some of them, you know, may have been in the very beginning stages, and some of them, if I recall correctly, just had an idea and a concept, and they were looking investors. So that was kind of the beginning, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah, idea funding has been around for more than 30 years, I believe, and is the pitch competition as a part of 10 West. Larry Hecker has been a long-term supporter, and Hecker and Pugh are still...
go ahead.
Sponsoring the reception ahead of idea funding this year. And we're excited to have Vantage West as our title sponsor for our main stage prize. So we started with 130 teams that competed in idea funding this year. And then there will be 5 teams competing on the main stage. And there is a $25,000 grand prize that one of those teams will win that night.
Yeah, it's just amazing that this festival has been going on for a decade. As you mentioned, and it starts on
March 25th.
Okay, and it goes on until
March 30th.
The 30th. So we're going to talk about really in the second break all the different activities, and the reason why you folks may be hearing a little bit of hesitation is that we have some weird music that's going on in the background, and we've checked all of our phones and all of our and so we found the source, Matt. So Jess, it was
sorry
quite
about
great.
That.
No, that's okay. That's all right. We're hearing this strange music in the background, but we'll get back with Jess here. We can now focus again. So 10 West. How did you come up with that name?
You know, originally the 10 West name came from I-10 West was where it came from. And then at one point, 10 West was 10 days long. So we had 10 days of our 10 West Festival. And now it's just, you know, it's our name. We love it. It's who we are. It's our identity. Like you said, we're from March 25th through the 30th this year. We're a 6-day festival with a 3-day conference. So we start on Tuesday the 25th with a kickoff event called the Mega Mixer. And then we have 3 days of conferences on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of the week focused on creativity, entrepreneurship, and technology and innovation. And then on Saturday, a wellness summit. We can talk more about that later.
But yeah, we're going to talk specifically about the workshop. I think it's important because I've been teasing we were talking about if you are an entrepreneur or thinking of leaving the job, not that we're encouraging anybody, you know, that this is the conference to come to. And the cool thing is that it's not only jam full of educational activities, but the networking is just, there's so many different kinds of events that are going on. And again, we're probably over teasing, but they're all first class. And, you know, and who's been helping you put this on?
Yeah, so the festival is backed by an organization called Startup Tucson, a local nonprofit focused on fueling the region's economy through entrepreneurship and innovation. They're the backbone of the festival. It's been such a pleasure to work alongside their team over the last couple years. And then we partner with Ranch House Media, a local production company, and they help us on the production side of the festival, operations and marketing.
Now, is it all live, or is there any streaming that's going on? Or tell us a little bit about how the high tech gets engaged in this conference.
Yeah, it is. It is all live. It all takes place in downtown Tucson, with a couple events also on the University of Arizona campus. We did produce 10 West Talks, a podcast, during the festival in 2023, which is available anywhere you listen to podcasts if you want some content from the past. And I do think that we're going to be recording some podcast episodes this year that'll be published after the festival.
Yeah, I mean, these workshops are timeless. As you mentioned, that you can go back a couple of years, and you know the basics are still there. And of course, we all watch the show. You know, now I never can remember what network it's on, but when I'm channel surfing, I come across it, and of course, these investors are in the news quite a bit. Especially in the political world, at least two of them anyway. And they're like point, counterpoint. but it's amazing the products that you learn about on the Shark Tank. And again, the presentation part for the entrepreneurs or the startup potential companies, is that open to the public or is that closed?
It is open to the public. There is opportunity to come to just the idea funding pitch competition on the evening of Thursday, March 27th. We're hosting that at the Rialto this year, so we're really excited to have a big stage for our entrepreneurs to pitch on, and obviously a partnership with such a long-standing, amazing Tucson venue. So we're really excited to be at the Rialto Theater, and you can purchase tickets for just that evening show on the Rialto's website. I'm not sure if they're available yet. Our tickets are going live this week. So if it's not already on the Rialto website, it will be soon. But all the 10 West tickets you can get on 10west.com.
So at the Rialto Theater, and of course, you know, what you think about the Rialto Theater, obviously, is live music, all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. And of course, you also think about what's in the back of the theater, which is the bar, the stand-up bar. But I'm sure you're probably not going to have the bar open, or maybe you are going to have the bar open.
We will have the bar open. Okay. We'll have a reception at our bar right outside across the patio from the Rialto just before the idea funding pitch competition starts. And then we will keep the bar open during the show.
Yeah, the networking is a huge part of this. And, you know, you have to think about the collection of all of the U of A academic people that are involved in the entrepreneurship. They U of A is very strong on you know, teaching entrepreneurship. I have good friends that started that were selected as like the entrepreneurs of the year, and they ended up starting opening the Frost Gelato, Mr. Ochoa.
Yes.
And Steve Ochoa. And they got, I mean, quite frankly, if it wasn't for the U of A, I don't know if they really would have known how to start up their own business. And of course, they had investors, just like most startups. And idea funding, that's the name that I remember 10 West started with. And this has been around. Larry Hecker, I think, was really hugely involved in that. Is he still around and still engaged?
Yep. Larry Hecker did start the original idea funding pitch competition many years ago before 10 West, which has now been incorporated into the festival. And he is still a longstanding partner and supporter of the festival. Hecker and Pugh, his current law firm, they'll be there during the reception. They're the presenting sponsor of that idea funding reception at our bar before the competition starts.
Well, don't shy away on the Morning Voice to talk about the leadership here in the community that helps put these events on, especially this one is so important. Working with the U of A and the McGuire Center, and that's obviously the startup portion. It's startup workforce development's been around for a long time for the U of A, and they pump out a lot of engineers and many other folks that, you know, have skill sets ready to be hired. And you're going to learn more about that. And we'll be back at our after a few announcements, and we're going to talk a little more specifically about what you can see and do and learn at the 10 West Festival coming up very soon on
March 25th through the 30th.
Okay, so you're taking cues very nicely, Jess. Thank you. This is why I like to do in-person interviews. We'll be back. This is The Morning Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, on 10:30 a.m., The Voice. Well, welcome back. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton, and we're talking about the 10 West Festival that's coming up real soon. It's a six-day festival, and if you're an entrepreneur or your startup business, or you want to learn about, you know, how to do presentations to get people to support you, you want to attend the 10 West Festival. But our guest today is Jess Suskin, and we didn't get a chance to learn a little bit about you, Jess, because you're doing festivals all around town, but this is obviously one that's is pretty engaged, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So tell us a little bit about you and some of the other festivals that you're doing, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what 10 West and all its different activities.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, Tom. My full-time job, I am the executive director of Tucson Young Professionals. We are a local economic development organization focused on the attraction, retention, and development of young talent. We do professional development and networking for people aged 21 to 45. And then in my free, air quotes on free time, I have the pleasure to work with the Startup Tucson and Ranch House Media teams on 10 West as the associate producer of the festival. I've also worked on some other events in town. Last year I worked with Tucson Foodie on the Tucson Craft Beer Crawl. I like to do events, and I love to be collaborative with all our amazing community partners. This is my fifth 10 West, I think, that I've worked on. Originally back in 2018, I worked for the university as the on-campus festival director when the U of A was fully integrated with the festival, and I helped bring campus partners and the festival together. We grew the festival to 10 days at that point. And we had 15 campus departments that were partnered with us, and we hosted over 100 events in those 10 days. That was pre-pandemic, when everybody thought bigger was better, and things shifted a little bit post-2020. But I'm so excited to be back working on the 10 West Festival again this year.
Well, I'm a volunteer on the Blue Blazers, which is the Arizona Bowl volunteer group. We used to be the advisory committee, and we changed to the Blue Blazers. And we are a tremendous amount of community leaders supporting the Arizona Bowl and all the local charities that they support. And it's always been a partnership with the University of Arizona, and there's a lot of wonderful special event folks that have come out of the U of A and are now doing events throughout the community. You probably remember some of them. Mm-hmm. A lot of them found their, one of them in particular found their way over to the Arizona Bowl and was very engaged with all the activities. And of course, the having our Snoop Dogg sponsor of his gin and juice out there, we did had record crowds.
Oh yeah, I was there. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was. I think it was an entertaining event, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was. It was so much fun.
So much more than just football, but football mm-hmm. is the reason why we do it. And of course, crowds over 40,000 record. So that's a lot of funds that we'll be able to distribute out to the community. And there's a process that you can go through, and you probably go to the Arizona Bowl.com and learn more about how the Arizona Bowl supports the community. But workforce development is so important to our community, and being involved in economic development for a number of years while I was at Pima County. Of course, tourism is an economic development driver. Mm-hmm. Our community wouldn't be the same if we didn't have the climate and certainly the beautiful Sonoran Desert and all of our resorts and, most important, all of our attractions. We have a number, probably a larger number than usual community is our size as far as the number of attractions, and that's why the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance started back in 1998, because a lot of them are small and they don't have any marketing budgets. So for Traction general managers got together and said, let's support them by creating our own little nonprofit organization. And here we are 26 years later or so with 100 plus attractions now. And our goal is to make sure that none of these attractions are labeled as hidden treasures. Now, they can still stay a treasure, but we want to make sure that with the help of Visit Tucson, our sponsor of this show, that we're able to get the word out about all the wonderful world-class attractions. And now events is kind of on our mission statement. And we're here again with Jess from 10 West. And so lots and lots of activities for those 6 days.
Yes, so many things across those 6 days.
Let's start with the academic side.
Okay. We have 3 days of conferences during the six-day festival. So on Wednesday, March 26th is our first conference day, which is called the Trends Day. It's focused on AI, leadership, community solutions, and there are breakout sessions at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 3 p.m., so you can come and learn all about the future of work and sustainability, climate change, lots of things like that. So if you are a professional in any of those areas or an entrepreneur or building a business in any of those areas, you can join us that day. And then we have our Thursday conference is focused on entrepreneurship. So that's the tactile workshops to help those entrepreneurs who are building their businesses. We also run our pitch competition all day on the Thursday. So we have 25 teams competing in vertical rooms on fashion, consumer products, technology. So you can watch the pitches or learn about your own business that you're building. And then on Friday, March 28th, we have our creative conference. So that is for our creative entrepreneurs, our gig economy workers who are doing the side hustle and work in the marketing field. We have a marketing summit that day. We also have some workshops on creative writing if you're looking how to publish a novel that you want to write. Or we also have some DJ podcasting focused sessions that day.
Oh, so, I have to go to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that should be a really fun one. And then we'll also have a play shop with the some people from the Tech Launch Arizona at the U of A. So you'll be learning how to think creatively with play, like literally play with Play-Doh, so that you can work through an idea that you're trying to make into a business. So that's our creative day on the Friday. And then on Saturday this year, we've added a wellness summit. So still in our learn category, but focused really on mindfulness and wellness. You can get massages there. There will be puppy yoga. There is going to be a tea infusions class and also a drawing for my mindfulness session. And that day is in partnership with the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine and will be hosted in their beautiful space on the University of Arizona campus.
So you said most of these workshops are at the U of A?
No, only the Saturday, the wellness day is at the U of A. The Wednesday, Thursday, Friday conferences are all hosted in downtown Tucson. We've decentralized our conference model this year. So we'll be in 5 breakout spaces around downtown. Our headquarters is in a new space called The Grand, which is right next to Highwire in off of Broadway. So we'll be there. That's our headquarters. You can come and get your coffee, pick up your badge, hang out, do some, there will be a mentor zone. You can do some networking in that space. And then for our breakout sessions, we'll be in the AC Hotel, in Highwire Lounge, at Playground, at Brick Box, and at the Tucson Metro Chamber. So you have to walk around downtown and explore.
But not too bad walking from one location to the other.
No, all of our breakout sessions are about a 5-minute walk from our headquarters.
So there's an organization called Startup Tucson that puts on this conference, and they've been around, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that organization, because they do more than just 10 West. And we'll be back in just a few moments, and this is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Voice, and I'm your host, Tom Moulton. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and this is Tom Moulton, and this is The Morning Voice, and we're here every single weekday from 7 to 9 a.m., and tomorrow, Dr. Ackerley will be back at 7 o'clock, and he's talking to community leaders as well as the U of A. Lots of talk about at the U of A, and it's a wonder. Their slogan continues to be wonder. He has a wonderful show. So make sure you tune in 7 o'clock tomorrow. Well, we're back, and Jess Susskind is here, and she is the assistant production manager. That means you do all the work. and for a wonderful festival that's celebrating 10 years. It started as with Larry, lawyer here in town, as Ideal Funding. And we had talked about throughout the show that if you're an entrepreneur, whether you're working or you're doing a startup, it's good to have a little bit of entrepreneur spirit, even if you're not starting up, because creativity is, I think, important in everybody's role. And hopefully your boss is listening to you when you have a great idea. And Startup Tucson had a really good idea when they started this festival, Jess, right?
Mm-hmm, they really did. Startup Tucson is such a great organization. They back the festival, but they also do a lot of other work for our local entrepreneurs. They focus on early stage entrepreneurs. They have a Startup 101 program. So if you're somebody who has just an idea, they can take you through the Lean Canvas and help you take that idea to an actual business concept. And then they have mentors who can help you with specific staged milestones to get your LLC and get your licensing or do whatever you need to do to become a legitimate business. And then they also host programming specific for food and creative entrepreneurs, which is cool. And then they also have a program called Rooted, which is a fund that is focused on funding indigenous entrepreneurs. And this year for the 10 West Festival, we are launching an indigenized 10 West initiative. And so there will be indigenous representation across the entire festival. We're doing that in partnership with the Indigenous Community Collective. And there will be a blessing and a land acknowledgement that happens during our kickoff mega mixer on Tuesday, March 25th.
That's great to hear. Working with the Sports and Tourism and Film Authority, and there is a component from that represents all the tribes, and it's basically a sports and tourism promotional agency funded by the state of Arizona, and it's really interesting, to work with the folks that lived here long before we lived here. And especially in their workforce development, because that's all of us here in the tourism business know that we have a shortage of employees. Mm-hmm. But it's an excellent startup position, if we can use that word, and you can grow. So a lot of folks say, well, the hospitality industry doesn't pay very much. Well, I don't think any job when you first start pays what you think you might be worth. You just got to stick at it. Mm-hmm. My particular story was I started cleaning bathrooms for an amusement park. And then I got involved in running the rides, and then became a supervisor, became a manager, and then eventually I started doing special events, and that led me to marketing. So, I had a degree in marketing at college, it wasn't my major. My major was speech communications, broadcasting, and theater. Talk about a broad, major. But it's because in the 70s, a lot of colleges lost students, and they had to combine because the draft was over. And so what a great liberal arts education. But it wasn't really until I started running special events, because that's operations, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's marketing. That's fundraising. That's community support. And one of the things that's unique about Tucson is the wonderful community support for these festivals, including 10 West, including Startup Tucson, because they really started to soar when the U of A got involved and engaged with Startup Tucson, and they're actually continuing to have their offices in a building that's supported by the University of Arizona, and of course we should say Pima County.
Yeah.
But particular startup, let's talk a little bit more about the executive director, because if we don't talk about her at all, I think she would give me a phone call.
Yeah, Liz Pocock, who is the CEO of Startup Tucson, is such a rock star,
yes.
And it has been such a pleasure for me to get to work so closely with her. She's like a very good friend of mine, a mentor for me professionally, and such a great community partner. Startup Tucson also runs the Tucson Innovation Partnership, which is an opportunity for the entrepreneurial ecosystem to come together. They started this, I think, during the pandemic, and it was so that organizations could come together and say, hey, I'm writing for this grant and I need these community partners to be in my letter of intent, and so that we could co-program for funding for the region. And so Liz has really led a charge for a community-focused approach, which they use that for their Startup Tucson programming. We use it for our 10 West programming. I do the same thing with Tucson Young Professionals. I think the thing that I love most about Tucson is that we all recognize that to win, we have to win together. And so being able to run events like 10 West and partner with all of our amazing community organizations is what keeps me going and keeps me here. And I think it's what makes Tucson so special.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to serve with Liz on the Tucson City of Gastronomy Board. And I have to tell you, she was so active, and she had so many solutions to our startup problems, or opportunities, I should say. And along with Jonathan Mabry and the executive director there, she was a wonderful asset to be on the board. And we used to meet there all the time. And, you know, even with all of the financial issues that you hear about that's going on at the U of A, cutting their community support is rare. They have found a way to continue supporting the community, and especially as we're talking about Startup Tucson and 10 West, they're there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our U of A partners are so important.
Yeah, and they still get involved in so much. And I can't tell you, because I'm not sure of all the details regarding the Arizona Bowl, but without the University of Arizona behind everything we do, the Arizona Bowl wouldn't have been as successful. I mean, bringing in Snoop Dogg was exciting. First time we've ever had a celebrity spokesperson, much as I'm sure when you look at putting the activities of 10 West together, or maybe the book festival, which we are going to be interviewing next Thursday. Those celebrity artists, those celebrities that you can bring. Now, we have celebrities within Tucson, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We have local heroes that we love to celebrate through 10 West.
Yeah, and they're featured.
Yep, we will have many local speakers.
Larry Hecker is my star anyway. I mean, I was when I first moved here in 97, he was one of the first folks that I met. And his engagement pro bono in a lot of cases for the nonprofits here. And he was so, here's how I think you should do it. And you began to learn that, well, he'll listen to you. You probably don't want to steer too far away from his advice.
Yeah, yeah.
And the good thing is you didn't get a bill for $1,000 an hour. But now, I'm not promoting Larry in the sense that he's going to support your nonprofit. But I have to tell you, he's a champion in the nonprofit community, isn't he?
Yeah.
And
a great supporter of 10 West.
Absolutely.
You know, Tom, speaking of celebrities, for our 10th year this year, we've brought in our biggest keynote that we've ever had. We have Guy Raz from the How I Built This podcast will be our keynote on the Wednesday night. And I definitely want to talk more about that with you before we go today.
Yeah. And I want to be there for that because, we started this show a little over a year ago, and it was called Jump in Tucson, and it was featuring community leaders. And we used to say folks that aren't afraid to jump in and get their hands dirty. And that we were on from 9 to 10 Now with the Morning Voice, we're on from 7 to 9, so we have a completely different audience, and I think it's important because people are driving to work that we have a variety of speakers to learn more. There's so much noise out there, I would say. Some of it's positive, some of it's not. We don't get too much involved in politics, but we do talk about things what we think are good for the community, for sure, and that's what you'll hear tomorrow from Dr. Ackerley. He talks about the things that the U of A is doing, and boy, I tell you what, I hope he's listening, Ed, that I think this whole show has been around about how the University of Arizona has been such a strong partner of not only 10 West, but the startup Tucson. And how about your day job? Are they out there supporting the future leaders of America?
Oh, yeah. We have a huge partnership with the U of A. They support their employees to have TYP memberships, and we have an on-campus group, our TYP U of A team that does programming on campus.
Great. We're going to hear more about
10 West and Tucson Young Professionals and Startup Tucson.
Yes, as we come back on our last segment. And this is the Morning Voice, and we're here with a special guest from she is the associate producer of 10 West that's coming up. What are those dates again? March
25th through the 30th.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back. Well, we're back, and Tom Moulton for the Morning Voice. And we have just a few moments left. And Jess, I think I'm going to just turn the microphone over to you and help close out the show.
Thanks, Tom. We talked a lot about the learn and the connect parts of our 10 West Festival that runs from March 25th to the 30th. But I want to touch on our experience pieces for a little bit. So, like I said before the break, we have Guy Raz from the How I Built This podcast as our big keynote. That'll be at Centennial Hall on Wednesday, March 26th. We'll start the night with a Made in Arizona talk. We're going to be interviewing three local founders to talk about their journey and how they started their businesses right here in Arizona. And then Guy will be doing a keynote on seven lessons that he's learned from the world entrepreneurs, because Guy interviews entrepreneurs on his podcast. So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you know an entrepreneur, or if you're interested in podcasting, that's the night for you. And then on Thursday evening, we have our idea funding pitch competition. It's a Shark Tank style main stage pitch competition where five teams will be competing for over $50,000 in cash and prizes. The main stage prize is $25,000. That is Thursday evening, March 27th at the Rialto Theater.
Now, do the investors get a chance to talk back like in the Shark Tank?
There will be judges on the stage with the pitchers, and they will have a Q&A, so there will be some interaction there. Yep.
Great.
Yeah, so that's our Thursday evening experience. And then on Friday, we actually have two exciting experiences on Friday, March 28th. The first one is in partnership with the University of Arizona Black Faculty Speaker Series. This one is free, open to the public. Anyone can join. Again, back at Centennial Hall, we'll have Dr. Henry Louis Gates from the Finding Your Roots show on PBS there for a keynote. So that's a really exciting one. And then later that evening at 191 Tool, we'll have Reggie Watts to do a musical show for us, which should be really fun. And then on Saturday, we'll be partnering with the University of Arizona and the Center for Creative Photography for their free museum day. So you can go and explore the University of Arizona museums. And there is a gallery opening at the Center for Creative Photography that's really exciting. And then on Sunday, March 30th, we're closing the festival with a big community day open for everybody. We're partnering with the Made in Tucson Market. So they'll have over 300 local vendors and makers selling goods. And then we will be at Corbett's for a 10 West takeover and wrap party. We'll have, in the morning, we'll have Mr. Nature and the Children's Museum out for some activations for families with their kiddos. And then in the evening, we'll have some live music, some DJs, and our 10 West wrap party. We'll also have a whiskey tasting with Whiskey Del Box. So we're going to close the week for a lot of fun on Sunday the 30th.
Now, did you say at High Corbett?
At Corbett.
All right, Corbett.
Corbett.
Okay.
Yep,
the other Corbett.
The other Corbett.
Yes. And that's a wonderful restored historical landmark.
Yes.
And I was there recently for the Tucson Jazz Festival.
Yes, exactly.
Had a great event. Are you going to close the street down and everything like they did?
Made in Tucson will have the street closed outside of Corbett's, and then we'll be inside Corbett's with our activation. So the whole 10 West Festival, it's 6 days long, 3 days of conferences. Learn, connect, experiences are our three pillars. vendors. There's paid events and free events, and all of the information can be found at 10west.com.
Yeah, and we have the website up now. You're seeing that on the screen. And it's very thorough. And I know over the years, I've given some suggestions on how to do the ticketing for all the event. You've worked all that out. I mean, because it's complex, isn't it?
It is, but we've actually added an individual day ticket this year for the first time, Tom. So you have the opportunity to engage with a specific day of the conference. If you are only interested in that Trends Day, you can come just on Wednesday, or you can get an all conference ticket and join us for all 3 days of the conferences and all 3 evenings of the experiences. You can purchase individual tickets for just the evening experiences I talked about, or you can just come hang out with us on the weekend for free. So there's many, many different ways to engage with the festival over those 6 days from the 25th to the 30th.
Yeah, and I already made a note of the two that I'm going to attend for sure, and the podcast is the one that I think I could really learn a lot. And it would be fun to watch the, you know, I know you mentioned that maybe some of these might be recorded, but that Shark Tank episode, wouldn't that be wonderful if you were able to capture that and be able to show that? I think it would have legs for a long, long time for sure. And you know, this has been a great 2 hours. We started with lots of festivals, going on. Of course, the Color Guard Classic is going on right now with the Pro-Am and then Friday through Sunday. And there's just, and World Baseball Classic is tonight at 6 o'clock. Where Germany is going to hopefully show its magic, since they've won 3 games already. And we're looking forward to being at that baseball game to bring Major League Baseball back to Tucson. And we'll be back again next Thursday. We're going to do from 7 to 8. We're going to be live from the Tucson Auto Museum, which is reopening up in the old Hidden Valley Inn. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk about that little thing called the UA Book Festival. I think last I heard that maybe that's the fourth or fifth or something like that, largest book festival now in the United States. And
wow,
it takes up that entire area at the U of A, all that lawn area. And I'm looking forward to that interview as well. Well, this is Tom Moulton. Don't forget to come back tomorrow and listen to Dr. Ackerley. And we'll be back next Thursday. And thank you, Jess, for coming. And thank you to all the guests. This is The Morning Voice on KVOI, 10:30 a.m.